Welcome to the Donna Sebo Show. Donna is an international mental practitioner, award-winning author, counselor, speaker, teacher, and radio TV personality. Dedicated to empowering others through her mental skills, she also features authors and experts from all over the world to share their knowledge and experience with you, the listening audience. Now, let's join Donna and her guests. Here's Donna.
Hello, and welcome to an hour of Mind Power. This is Donna Sebo, and we have got quite a program for you today. We are going to be talking to the fellas out there, but it's good for you gals to listen to this too. We're going to be talking about how a man can be a great divorced dad. Now, Dr. Kenneth Condrell is with me today, and Kenneth, where are you located?
I'm in Buffalo, New York, Donna.
You're in Buffalo, New York.
Yep.
I'm in Anchorage, Alaska, where it's snow and ice right now at this very moment. And the studio is in California. Thank goodness for the wonders of technology.
Well, we have a lot of snow and ice right here now in Buffalo, too.
Oh, my goodness. So we're both experiencing the same kind of stuff.
You got it, yes.
Well, it's nice to be warm and cozy and to be able to talk about a subject that not very many people like to get into. And I really have to compliment you because I think your book about how to be a great divorced dad is very, very well done. Now, you have been involved with family counseling for a good 30, 35 years. You have been right there on the front lines with a lot of different situations, especially evolving around a divorce. You yourself experienced one. What made you decide that you wanted to put this information in black and white in a book form?
Well, I've talked to thousands of couples over the years, you know, divorcing after the divorce, and it occurred to me that men frequently were making the same mistakes over and over again as they became single parent dads. And I thought, I'm going to put together a book that will be a guide for dads so that they don't keep making these same mistakes over and so that they can save themselves a lot of grief. So the book, Be a Great Divorce Dad, really is a way to show fathers how to get on the right track, you know, once they wake up and realize, hey, you know, I'm with the kids here all by myself. I have a whole new role, a whole new future. What am I going to do now?
Boy, I think that this is so significant for us to address. Now, I want to let my audience know that you are the director of the Condrell Center for Change, and you've also been a consultant for the Children's Hospital of Buffalo, New York, as well as for Fisher-Price Toys. Now, when you started off in your book, the very first page of your introduction, you talked about your own marriage ending in divorce, and you had been married for 32 years. Your children were adults at the time this happened, but you said there has got to be a better way. Tell us a little bit about what you experienced when you got divorced, even though your kids were adults.
Well, when I talk about there's got to be a better way, I'm referring to the traditional legal system that gets involved so often in families divorcing. And basically, each parent hires a lawyer, and that lawyer becomes like their gladiator. And the name of the game is, let's beat up the other side and get the most money and get the most restrictions for being with the kids. And let's strive to make one of the parents a winner. Now, that is a nightmare for families. And today, there are more sophisticated lawyers who really help couples to divorce but not create this kind of unequal solution. And mediation is a newer form of divorce where there's no winner and no loser. And that's the most sane way to end a partnership so that parents can go on and complete the parenting of their children without hating each other.
I think that is such a wonderful way to be able to look at a scenario like this, because there are many people today that are recognizing they really don't belong together. However, they've brought into this world children, And to be caught in that drama of hate and antagonism,
right,
all of this, it is a poison. And I really liked, in fact, I made a notation in my book where you say, gee whiz, you don't want to constantly feed hate. And I thought, gee, the world leaders need to learn a little bit about this. Not just, you know, people that are getting a divorce, but it's true. If you focus on perpetuating hate,
right,
it just goes on and on and on, and it doesn't end.
And the normal divorce process does that, because when there's a divorce, one parent wins, one parent loses. That sets the stage for conflict for years and years and years. And, you know, I often say the only people who really truly get a divorce are people without children.
Mm-hmm.
If you have kids, you're tied together for 15, 20 years.
Easily.
You just can't say, I'm never going to see you again. You've got to cooperate and finish the job that you started in parenting your children.
Now, you bring out so many good examples. And for those of you just tuning in, Be a Great Divorce Dad is the title of the book. And Kenneth Condrell is my guest. You bring so many points out, because you yourself were divorced, even though you and your wife got divorced after your children became adults. They still were very much affected. But let's go into the fact that when people get divorced, a male has a response. It can be so devastating to that male, and the behavior often of males is just absolutely terrifying, or, you know, it's just like they've gone to another planet, so to speak.
It really is. You know, in most situations, it's the dad who leaves the marital residence. It's the dad who's sitting outside what was once his home, waiting for his children to come out so he can spend a few hours with them. It's his dad who now has to call up his kids rather than wake up in the morning and see them there. So the losses for a man are tremendous, and he often feels like he has been ostracized and is out there in outer space. He's most likely has lost his in-laws and all the relatives on his wife's side. People who, you know, who he used to be close to now have polarized and don't want anything to do with him. It's a terrific shock.
You make a comment also about men, in reacting to divorce, often go through what you call a wild second adolescence. And I thought, that is really a good way to describe it. And you, as a man, can say this, and if a woman would say it, men would say, oh, you just don't know what you're talking about.
Yeah,
you just don't understand. Of course, women and men communicate differently.
Yes.
But let's talk about this for a minute, because we may have some men listening in the audience who have just gone through this and are going through a lot of pain, and they're trying to be the macho guy here and saying, nah, it doesn't bother me. But there are side effects from this that are really long-term negative if they're not careful.
Absolutely. And, you know, men lose a lot of self-esteem in the divorce process. And going out and dating and drinking and partying and staying out late and having lots of parties and getting a motorcycle and so forth, and all that is understandable. But a father has a responsibility to keep that part of his life that he's going through and is temporary separate from his children. You know, the last thing kids need when they learn that mom and dad are going to separate is to be introduced to a girlfriend or a boyfriend.
Mm-hmm.
And you're just not doing your children any favor. Kids need time to accept that there's a divorce, the family is changing, without suddenly dad's girlfriend is there or mom's boyfriend is there. So I just, you know, instruct parents to be very careful, very discreet during the divorce process about, you know, what kids are exposed to.
Now, you emphasize the importance of the role of a father, and I think that is so very significant, and I really like your suggestion about mediation, because whether it's the female or the male, regardless of what those circumstances are, you have children that are definitely going to be affected. And so you need to really be out of your own pity party and to realize that these children have to be paid attention to. And they need security. They need to have some kind of a stability, even though there may be this separation of the parents. And you gave some wonderful examples in your book. Really some wonderful examples. So let's talk about a little bit of both sides. You're in a position of being a mediator, and you have definitely wanted to be supportive of both parents being involved, unless it was something horrifically extreme. You want the dads to be involved as much as the mothers are, or to be in that positioning of handling that responsibility, because it is a big change for them. Women do a substantial amount of the work most of the time.
Yes, they do. And dads, when a divorce occurs, have to play catch-up. It isn't that men can't do as good a job as mom does, but for many years, in many homes, dad has been rather casual about parenting. And it's mom who takes the kids to the pediatrician and to the dentist and makes the lunches and buys the clothes and goes to school conferences and talks to the kids endlessly. And dads can do all of that. But generally, when a divorce occurs, they are not up to speed. And so a lot of fathers have got to spend that time to become much more involved dads when they become single parents.
You bring up points also about women, when they get divorced, they're just as insecure as the men are, because where there has been a partnership, even if there's been a negative relationship here, they still have, in their own ways, depended on each other for various things. So when they are separate from each other, they have to recreate their environment and their lives. And when there are children involved, those kids have to be a very important part of that rearrangement. You give good counsel on how men can deal with the ex-wife syndrome. So let's go into that a little bit.
It is such a challenge to keep your anger in check so as not to play this out with the kids. Unfortunately, 50% of mothers who are divorced see no value in the father's continued contact with his own children. I mean, they're so mad at their former husbands that they feel, well, you know, he's not that important. And another 40% of mothers report that they actually interfere with the dad's visitation to punish them. So a parent really has to make an effort of saying, I've got to put the kids first here. I really can't put them in the middle like this. If they're going to do well in life, they need to have access to both of us, and it kills them to see us fighting all the time. So you want to, number one, keep fighting to a minimum and then not carry on in front of the kids as you exchange the children. You also don't want to badmouth mom to the kids. It's very painful for children who love their mom to hear dad making sarcastic and nasty comments about their mom. And when a dad does that, Donna, he really shoots himself in the foot, because kids will be protective of their mom and take her side. So every time he says something nasty about mother, he is really building distance between himself and his children. So he's got to be careful about that.
You bring out, again, some very interesting points, which I really think this would be a great gift for anybody that knows of someone that's going to go through a process of a divorce. Have one given to the wife and the other one to the father, because they both need to read it. I think it's really good.
Thank you. And that's a very good suggestion. You know what's interesting? A lot of people, mostly women, have bought this book for their brothers or their husbands. Men generally have a hard time going to parenting books for advice. But I find that once they get a copy of this book, they love it and they rely on it. But they're not likely to go out there and pick it up all by themselves. But a wise divorced mother will help things get off to a good start if she gets it for her former husband.
You have comments. Think before you act, for the guys now.
Yes.
Before you open your mouth with a retort,
yes,
think first. And think before you act. How is my behavior going to affect my kids? You know,
that's
what
right.
am I doing if
that's
they
right.
go back? And it's almost a horrible way to have to put yourself into that mindset, but you have to think like an adult, not like a child.
At first you do. Even the best of parents are so tortured by the breakup of a marriage that they say some very destructive things and do some very destructive things. For example, the dad who sounds like a hero and says, I'm going to take you to Disney World for Easter,
mm-hmm.
but I need your help. You got to ask mom to give up her child support for that week so I'll have money to take you to Disneyland. So the picture, now the kids go to mom, we're going to Disneyland. But, you know, dad says you got to just give up child support for that week so he can afford to do it. Oh, can you just see what a disaster that is?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
That does not go over well because that is manipulation. And this can be going on both sides of the fence.
Absolutely.
But I like what you do, and you're talking from a man's perspective, and you say, don't dump the kids at your mother's house on your weekend when you have the kids. You're responsible for taking care of those kids. Just don't pick them up from your spouse's place and then go over and say, okay, here, Mom, you take care of them. I'm going to go out fishing.
You know, men make a couple of really huge mistakes. And at a time when they should be getting very involved with their children and helping them to feel secure they're not going to lose their dad, they'll drop them off at mom's, at the grandma's house, you know, and or maybe just sit and watch TV and the kids have a boring time. Or even worse than that, they bring their new girlfriend along every time they're spending time with their kids. Now, kids who are in a divorce situation don't see their dad that much. The last thing they want to do is share their father with his date and maybe
mm-hmm.
his date's children. And so, you know, there's time for that, but not at the beginning. And you don't want them, you don't want a girlfriend to be with you every single time you're with your children.
I think those are very, very good points. Also, I think your positioning of saying, dads, pay attention to what's going on with your kids.
Yes.
You need to be involved, and it's a whole different mindset, and it can be learned.
It does. And you know, Donna, one of the things that happens to fathers in a bad marriage is that they get sort of a bad rep. The kids see them as angry and negative and irritable. And once a man is outside that toxic relationship, that awful marriage, he can relax, he can be more himself, and the children need a chance to see dad as he really is outside of that marriage. So I think as men calm down once they're out of the house, the children get a chance to see, hey, boy, you know, dad's a different kind of guy now, you know?
Mm-hmm. You also have a chapter dealing with the kids, and you talk about how children, when they're experiencing a divorce, unless it's one of these rare situations where it was just a hell of hells when they were there, where the kids are going to say, are you kidding? I'm so glad they're going to a different planet. This is great.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I'm happy. But with most families, the children really do not want the divorce. They really want both parents. They honestly can say that they love both parents. And you make a recommendation about a group called Banana Splits, a school-based support program where children of divorce talk and share their feelings. I thought, that's the first time I've heard of that. That's a wonderful, wonderful idea.
We have that in Western New York, and I think other schools around the country have groups of children come together once a week who have experienced divorce, and they get to really commiserate and support each other. And that's really very, very helpful. I really have come to discourage parents about divorce, and I'll tell you why. I mean, I'll tell parents, hey, look, you can always get a divorce, but that should be your last option, and I'll tell you why. Divorce is not a quick fix. I mean, in theory, it's a second chance to be happy, but there are so many problems. Your standard of living is going to drop. Chances are you'll be meeting other people who have children. Now you're going to get into a blended family situation. The children are going to lose their neighborhood and maybe the home that they were raised and have to go to a different school. And all of this makes the next 4 or 5 years extremely difficult. So to put yourselves and your children to that, you owe it to yourself to do everything possible to save that marriage. And you know, for a while, people were getting divorced very quickly. And now they're beginning to slow down, and professionals are discouraging parents from making that choice without first really trying to stay together.
I love the joke that you had in your
What's
book
that?
About an elderly couple. The one that walked into a lawyer's office and the husband says, we want a divorce, and the attorney is just astonished. He says, it's your age? And he said, how old are you guys? And the husband says, I'm 92, and the wife speaks up. She says, 85, and we've been married 60 years. And he said, well, why do you want a divorce now? Why'd you wait so long? And the husband says, well, we didn't want to hurt the children, so we decided to wait till they were all dead.
Kind of a sick joke. I know. So, you know, I'm not asking parents to stay together in a miserable marriage, because that isn't really good for the kids either. On the other hand, you got to be realistic. The next 4 or 5 years after divorce are rough for everybody.
Mm-hmm.
Don't put yourselves through that. If you can first, let me just backtrack for a minute. Let's say you get divorced. Well, before you know it, you're going to be losing weight. You're going to be buying more attractive clothes. You're going to be more fun. You're going to be going out and dating and doing a lot of romantic, fun things. Well, why not try that all out on each other?
Mm-hmm.
You know, and save this marriage, and get it revived. You know, before saying we got to have a divorce, you know. Does that make sense?
Yes, it does. It is not necessarily going to work all the time.
Not all
but
the time, no.
It is something to do. Now, what are the 10 most common divorced dad pitfalls?
Well, for one, okay, is number one, looking for revenge. I mean, you're so angry, and I understand that anger, you know, but playing it out just makes things so much worse for the kids. For example, sending mom a support check that bounces or is late, okay? Bringing the kids home at a time way beyond what mom was expecting, and so she can't make sure they're ready for school the next day, you know? It's Mother's Day, and this is a real example. By rights, dad should help the kids honor mom on Mother's Day, but this one dad, what he did, he had the kids buy a funeral wreath. Now, the kids had no idea what that was, you know, but when you play out those kinds of revengeful kinds of actions, you fuel the fire between both couples, and the kids are the ones that suffer. Another thing you don't want to do is make the children choose between you. There's often competition about trying to get the kids to favor mom over dad or to favor dad over mom, and that just puts the kids into a big tug of war. You don't want to knock the kids. You don't want to knock the other parent to the children. That's a mistake that men often make. You don't want to use the children like as spies and have them tell you what mom is doing and ask them all sorts of questions, or have them deliver the support check to mom. You don't want to jump to conclusions from information your children just give to you. You see, kids will gossip, and they're likely to try and win dad's favor or mom's favor by saying something provocative. I remember one little boy said, you know, I saw naked women in dad's bathroom.
Mm-hmm.
Well, what he meant, he saw a Playboy magazine. Well,
uh-huh.
The mother hit the roof thinking he's got naked ladies in his bathroom and right away started to fight. When you hear provocative things like that, slow down and say to yourself, well, you know, I've got to find out what really happened, you know, because lots of times kids are setting you up. Another thing is you don't want to turn down opportunities to be with your children. For example, in a lot of divorce settlements, I have parents write into the agreement that if a parent has to leave town or if a parent needs a sitter, the other parent gets first choice to be with the children before you hire somebody or rely on your grandparents, okay?
Mm-hmm.
Well, you'd be surprised the number of dads would say, well, I'm not going to be her babysitter and just so she can conveniently go off whenever she wants. And they'll say no. And I say, wait a minute, you have a chance to be with your kids,
mm-hmm.
you know? And stop putting it in the framework that you're being used, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Things like that. So those are some of the things. What's another one I have here? Oh, I tell dads to stop crying poverty. Lots of times they'll say to the kids, oh, I can't do this, we can't do that because your mother took all my money.
Uh-huh.
Well, that's very poor. You know, kids don't want to hear that. And it's not the way to build a strong relationship. And also it's trying to get the kids to feel sorry for dad and be mad at mom. So men make those kind of mistakes. And returning the kids home unclean with dirty laundry, maybe leaving half of their clothes at dad's house. That's another way of trying to aggravate mom, things like that. There's so many ways to keep the fire going. Some parents, I'll tell you, they get at it for so long, they even start putting names in the underwear of the children. It's dad's jockeys, it's dad's underwear, and it's dad's undershirts, it's dad's socks, you know, because they start keeping clothes that they buy for the kids, and they fight about who hasn't brought back what clothes that they bought for the children.
Gee whiz, it sounds almost like the parents need a good education in how to act like adults, doesn't
yes,
it? It's amazing. I wanted to share with you a story about a gentleman that I knew a number of years ago, and I had such a respect for him as a parent.
Okay.
He was married. He had five children. The marriage ended up going into the deep six. But he did something, and when I was going through your book, you mentioned someone that had done this, and I wanted to share it with my audience. This gentleman, what he did, he had a very strong sense of family, and he and his wife had an amicable kind of a divorce, and he lived about, I'd say a half a mile from where his ex-wife was. And the kids would bike over to his house, they'd do all kinds of things, and it was just such a wonderful rapport that he was able to develop with his ex-wife for all of the disagreements they may have had. Both of them took the attitude of being mature adults, saying we have to do the best that we can with our kids. And as it turned out, the kids loved them both, understood that they could never have been happy married for 30 or 40 years, and they had a good relationship with both of them, and his door was never closed to his kids, regardless.
You know,
he always had that open for him.
I am so glad that you brought that up, because whenever divorced parents can come together for special events, it's a gift to their children. The children love it. It could be a school recital. It could be a birthday. It could be a graduation. It could be a holiday like Hanukkah or Christmas. Kids love that, and lots of times parents are able to calm down after a few years when the lawyers are out of the scene and be able to come together, and some of them are really friendly, others have to pretend they're friendly, but it's worth it because it gives the children such a sense of peace of mind and security knowing that you know, they're coming together and they're doing their best to be loving with both. With the kids, it's a great story you just told.
Well, I think it's important for people to know on both sides of the fence. Often you can pick someone that maybe is not the best mate for you, but if you've had children, there is that responsibility. And instead of going ballistic, I think your book for guys, Be a Great Divorced Dad, I think the gal should get it. I think the guy should get it. And if you know of anybody that's going through these kinds of challenges, this is a gift to them. Say,
well, thank you.
That you can make this happen. Now, Kenneth, I know that you have a website, and would you give out that information so my audience knows where they can go to find out more information?
It's goodparenting.biz, B-I-Z.
Goodparenting.biz. My guest has been Dr. Kenneth Condrell. His last name is spelled C-O-N-D-R-E-L-L. His wonderful book is Be a Great Divorced Dad. The wisdom that's in this book would make a lot of people a lot happier, and kids would be able to handle the adjustment better. You give so much wonderful information in here. Kenneth, thank you so much for being my guest today.
You know, thank you. It's been a pleasure talking to you. And, you know, if parents can't remember my website, they can just Google in my name. And I hope you and I have a chance to talk again sometime.
Well, I look forward to that. Dr. Kenneth N. Condrell, that's C-O-N-D-R-E-L-L, his website, goodparenting.biz. This is Donna Sebo broadcasting live from Anchorage, Alaska. We'll be back in just a moment. Don't go away.
Hello, this is Dr. Richard Petty, the author of Healing, Meaning and Purpose, and creator of the RichardGPettyMD.com website. I am thrilled and delighted to tell you that starting February 7th, 2008, at 3 p.m. Pacific, 6 p.m. Eastern, I'm going to be joining my friend Donna Sebo on her show on BBSRadio.com. We're going to do this every month, And I can guarantee you that we're going to be sharing new information and new concepts that will astonish and inspire you. Hello, this is Dr. Richard Petty, the author of Healing, Meaning and Purpose, and creator of the RichardGPettyND.com website. I am thrilled and delighted to tell you that starting February 7th, 2008, at 3 p.m. Pacific, 6 p.m. Eastern, I'm going to be joining my friend Donna Sebo on her show on bbsradio.com. We're going to do this every month, and I can guarantee you that we're going to be sharing new information and new concepts that will astonish and inspire you.
Do you want to lose weight? Do you deal with diabetes, high blood pressure, osteoporosis, or chronic pain? Do you want to know one of Dr. Perricone's 7 secrets to beauty, health, and longevity? Do you have 15 minutes a day to look and feel better? Then let me introduce you to TTAP, the workout that works. For the beginner or expert exerciser, learn from physical training specialist Teresa Tapp how, in just 15 minutes a day, you can burn fat and sugar, build strong bones and muscles, and lose inches fast, with no equipment or jumping. Visit the TTAP website, TTAP.com, or call 1-800-342-0717 to learn how. That's T-TAPP.com. We'll help you lose inches, look good, and feel fabulous at TTAP. 1-800-342-0717. TTAP.com.
Hi, this is Donna Sebo, and telephone lines are now open. Give me a buzz if you'd like to chat. The telephone numbers to call into are 877-876-5227. That's 877-876-5227. Canadians, 888-815-9756. That's 888-815-9756. And though I'm up here in Anchorage, Alaska, all you need to do is call into the studio, and through the miracle of technology, I'm going to be able to light up your life with a little bit of intuitive insight. It's really simple, really easy. Just give me your first name or your initial, and then after that, you are welcome to ask me anything that you want. Now, I wanted to let you know, tomorrow we're going to be talking to Dr. Adams about the topic when he's married to mom. Mm-hmm. Yes. Those gentlemen that seem to have their mothers right there on their hip with them, even after they get married. So we're going to be finding out some information about that. And then on Friday, we're going to be talking with Dr. Petty, Healing, Meaning, and Purpose. We're going to be talking about wellness, and this is going to really be a fascinating show. Don't forget, on Monday, we're going to be having Apollo 14 astronaut Dr. Edgar Mitchell. He's also the founder of the Institute of Noetic Science. He's going to be my guest on Monday, and we will be devoting a full hour to that interview. We won't be taking calls on that day. But anyway, today, if you want to give me a buzz, 877-876-5227 or 888-815-9756. Remember always, all I need from you, first name or initial, and then after that, I'll give you my insights, and you're welcome to ask me about anything you like. This year we are having an early Easter, yes, and it's a surprise. Well, I was sent some information from Debbie. She said, Donna, Easter is early this year. It's always the first Sunday after the first full moon after the spring equinox, which usually is March the 20th. The dating of Easter is based on the lunar calendar that the Hebrew people used to identify Passover with, which is why it moves around on the Roman calendar, which is the one we all use today. Now, Easter, with the information that I just gave you, can actually be one day earlier, March 22nd, but that's very rare. Now, this year is the earliest Easter any of us will ever see for the rest of our lives, and only the most elderly of our population have seen it this early. They have to be 95 years of age or older. And none of us have ever or will ever see it a day earlier. And here are some of the facts. The next time Easter will be this early, March 23rd, will be the year 2028. That's 220 years from now. And the last time it was this early was 1913. So if you're 95 or older, you're the only person that was around for that event. And the next time it's going to be a day earlier, March 22nd, will be in the year 2,285. That's 277 years from now. The last time it was on March 22nd was 1818. So no one alive today has or will ever see it any earlier than this year. Just a little bit of Easter trivia for you there. Thank you, Deb, for sending that to me. And I also want to be sure to mention to those of you that are in the state of Washington, we have this wonderful women's show that's coming up. This is my sixth year of participating in it. It's absolutely awesome. They're celebrating their 20th, and it's being held the 28th, the 29th, and 30th of this month, the month of March. And the hours are from 10 to 6. It's going to be at Quest Convention Center, and it is just absolutely marvelous. Now, you can go to their website, which is northwestwomensshow.com, northwestwomensshow.com. Go in there, find out all of the details, ticket prices, everything else will be right there on the site for you. And it's just a marvelous celebration. Link up with your girlfriends. Make it a weekend just for fun. You guys are welcome too. But the gals, it's just absolutely 3 days of fun, wonderful events, seminars. I'm going to be speaking each day when I'm there. So you can come on by, say hello. My booth is number 406. We'd be delighted to have you. It is just a wonderful, wonderful event to be a part of. So that's the Pacific Northwest Women's Show, March 28th, 29th, and 30th. And then on April 19th at the Center for Spiritual Living in Tacoma, Washington, I'm going to be giving a presentation there, and it's only $89. We're going to be talking about mental ecology and how to rev up this year so that you can be about the business of empowering yourself in multiple ways. So all the information about that is going to be on my website in my newsletter, and if you want more details, give me a call. Part of the proceeds are going to go towards the rehabilitation of the historical building that this is going to be presented in. So that's Saturday, April the 19th from 10 until noon, and then we're also going to be having a catered lunch, and it's all only going to be $89. So we invite you to come and join us. Again, give me a call if you need information, 800-872-8852. Now, do you know that our GPS can be affected by thunderstorms? Well, this is the case not just down here near terra firma, but hundreds of miles up in space. Now, tropical thunderstorms, we all know, can set off powerful storms that affect everything here on ground level. But they also set off powerful storms in outer space. In the ionosphere, hundreds of miles above the Earth, storms can disrupt radio transmission and reception of GPS signals. Now, there's a NASA satellite that's taken some new measurements, and it shows that enormous quantities of gas collect in the ionosphere over regions wherever there might be thunderstorms happening. And one of their images showed a four dense clouds of gas over the Amazon, the Congo, Indonesia, and the Pacific Ocean. Now, they have photos of this. We are so sophisticated with our technology, we're able to see this, not guess at it, but really see it. And physicists say that the electrical storms are affecting the ionosphere indirectly, and thunderstorms, with all of their activity, create shock waves in the air that move up into the ionosphere's E-layer, as they call it. And then this layer is partially electrified during the day and creates several different characteristic plasma bands that extend around the Earth. And then the changes in this E-layer plasma alters the electrical fields they generate, which in turn affect other bands. And they will those gas bands disrupt the GPS signals that we have coming back down here to Earth. And, you know, up here in Alaska, in the many years I've been traveling up here, they'll often find that sunspot activity will affect transmissions, will affect telephones, will do all kinds of unique things. And, again, it's having to do with electrical energy. So just a little bit of trivia there for you. Donna Sebo here, broadcasting live from Anchorage, Alaska. And if you'd like to give me a call, all I need from you is your first name or your initial. Call me at 877-876-5622. 877-876-5227. That's 877-876-5227. Canadians, 888-815-9756. That's 888-815-9756. Well, when I arrived here in Anchorage earlier today, I picked up one of their local newspapers, and I found an article in it that I wanted to share with you. And it's about the passing away of the first Native woman bush pilot. And that may not sound like very much, because in today's world, it's sort of commonplace for women to be flying. It's not that big a deal. However, when she was born, she was born in 1959, she was one of the first Native women bush pilots and one of only 37 pilots featured in Women in Flight, the exhibit at the Smithsonian National Air and Space Museum in Washington. She flew more than 15,000 hours. She was featured in books like The Bush Pilots of Alaska and Women Pilots of Alaska. And she was known for her unique experience and knowledge of high Arctic flying. There's so much about this woman that was so significant, because she, when she passed away, and it was this year that she died, in fact, it was just a few days ago, she died on March the 2nd, she was only 48 years of age. Now, you think about that, in her lifespan, what she did was such a phenomenal accomplishment. And we look at it today and we'd say, well, what's the big deal? But she really was someone that was quite exceptional. She's been written up in all kinds of magazines, and she's just one of these people who made a significant contribution to Alaskan history. She is one of those Alaskan women who was of a pioneer spirit and nature and just said, I can do it, and went out and did exactly what she set out to do. So I just wanted to give her mention, because so many times when we find that technology advances, especially if you're of a younger generation, you don't realize all those people that have gone out and have done things that today we just take for granted. But at the time that they did it, the experiences were extremely difficult and very hazardous. And this lady who passed away, she accomplished quite a bit in her short lifespan, and she is honored and recognized by all of those in the aviation industry. Donna Sebo here in Anchorage, Alaska, where there's snow and ice on the ground. I was told when I came in today that it had been in the 40s, and it was 20 below by the time I could have flew in. So I don't know what happened to the 40-degree temperature, but it seemed to have flown the coop. Donna Sebo here. We'll be taking a break shortly, and if you'd like to call in and chat with me, 877-876-5227 is the telephone number to call in to. Canadians, 888-815-9756. That's 888-815-9756. Well, a little bit of this, a little bit of that, and I've got a recipe for you that maybe you'd like to have handy for the upcoming Easter holiday. If you're going to be serving a buffet, this is really something that is real easy to fix. So get that pad of paper and pen handy, and we'll be coming back in just a minute. Otherwise, give me a buzz if you want to chat right here at 877-876-5227 or 888-815-9756. We'll be right back.
Are you concerned about nutrition? Do you work hard to eat right, try to feed yourself and your family nutritious food? Well, you'll want to know about glyconutrients. What are they? These are sugars that are present in nature, however, we're not getting them in our food anymore. Scientific study is proving that these sugars are necessary for all cellular and immune system function. Over 20,000 studies are conducted each year on glycoforms alone. These are the sugar protein structure that line each and every cell of the body. 4 out of the last 8 Nobel Prizes in physiology have been awarded for research in the area of cellular communication and how these sugars work in the body. This is Donna Sebo. Every day I bring to you information that will empower and light up your life. I would like to invite you to visit my website, DelphiInternational.com, and find out more about these glyconutrients. That's DelphiInternational.com. Go to my website, go to the left side of the screen, tap on the button that says Glyconutrients. MIT's Technology Review, February 2003, states that glycomics is one of the 10 emerging technologies that will change the world. Education is the key to advancement of understanding and making our lives better. Visit my site, DelphiInternational.com. Go to the left side of the screen and tap on the button that says Glyconutrients. I know it'll make a
difference
for you.
Enter the magical world of God's kiss.
Johnny finds himself at the entrance to a large open valley, framed by high mountains rich in the brown-red colors of the earth. He stands in awe, even a little fearful of the mountain's great size. After all, he's just a little boy and not very tall.
God's Kiss is a beautifully illustrated children's book about a young boy's journey into a valley with children and animals from all over the world. They are gathering together to experience the wonder of love and beauty that will affect their lives forever. A talking book audio narrated by the author Donna Sebo accompanies this wonderful storybook, creating a special magic all of its own. This book package makes a wonderful gift for those special children in your life ages 3 to 10. God's Kiss book and talking book audio are only $19.95 plus shipping and handling, and the author Donna Sebo will autograph and personalize your book if you request it. Call 800-872-8852. You can also order through Donna Sebo's website, www.DelphiInternational.com. That 800 number again, 872-8852.
Hi, this is Donna Sebo. Give me a buzz if you'd like to chat. 877-876-5227. Canadians, 888-815-9756. Also, we have an open line of 530-876-3222. How many of you are out there looking for a job? You're trying to find that position that is going to be just absolutely perfect for you. Well, I had some material come across my desk before I came up to Alaska, and I thought, I'm going to share this because it's important. If you're out job hunting, you need to pay attention to what might be on the internet about you. Not everyone surfs the net for information, but I'll tell you what, there are social networks called MySpace and Facebook, and apparently there's all kinds of stuff that people put on there, and it's just amazing what people will show, and they think it's funny, or they don't think it's going to cause any problems. Well, there's a guy by the name of Andy Simmons, and he says you've got to be thoughtful. You want to know how to click and clean. So you have really got to pay attention to what might be put out about you on the web. And he said, this generation isn't the one that's invented stupidity. They are just the first generation to post it online for everybody to see. Now, apparently employers, when they are out screening, there are these services that will try to find anything and everything about someone. And by golly, they will Google your name. And it's amazing what pops up via the internet. Remember, the internet is just an information resource. And apparently 43% of potential bosses have nixed candidates based on what they found out about them on the internet. And there is an institute called Ponemon, and they're a privacy research organization, and they run online background checks of prospective hires. Yes. And do you know 61% of all the companies have been utilizing this particular company's services in the nation? And so if they find something there on the internet about you, you could lose a positioning. And this is an example. The president of JobBound, his name is Brad Karsh, and he's an online employment company, and they found this one young man who was just perfect for a position. Now, before he offered a job to this young man, he checked out the all-too-public Facebook page, and there, right there on that page, was a listing where this young man had said, smoking blunts with the homies. Now, he said, when he saw this, this guy was completely lacking in judgment and maturity. He's not ready for a prime positioning, especially since our company advises people on how to get jobs. So here's a young man that ended up losing a job opportunity because of something that he put on the internet. Now, it's not just young people that are making the mistake. Mature people aren't any better. There was one candidate for a position who was selling, he wanted a position selling software. This individual was just absolutely a shoo-in for this $100,000 a year job. However, the employer, doing a background check, checked out a MySpace page, and here he had the statement, 40 years old and he likes them younger. Now, this president of this particular company, his name is Tony, he said, now this guy could have been talking about wine, but that wasn't the way that this was interpreted. It makes a difference. So anyone applying for a job, according to Andy, they need to be able to review his or her online persona from an employer's perspective. And he said, there are just so many examples that I can cite over and over and over. So you just have to really understand so that you realize that what you may be thinking is cute or funny may be misinterpreted by someone that's in an upper positioning. So you just need to realize that what you do makes a difference. And there was this one fellow, his name was Chris, and he wrote on a friend's MySpace page, he said, I thought that this was funny, but he said, this is what I said on the page. He said, I said, thank God this is my final day on this hellhole. May they all die a horrible, fiery death in the bowels of hell for the rest of eternity. Ooh, ha, ha, ha. Now, he thought that that was a funny. And yet, Chris said it was a big mistake. He said, I did not use common sense when I did that. Anything and everything that you put online is public information. Now, a lot of the people who have grown up being aware of this still don't use common sense. A lot of people think that if they are sending an email or they're doing stuff online that it is going to be totally private, but it is not the case. And you need to remember, when you're out looking for a job, you never have a second chance to make a first impression. You can make a mistake. So if you have something that's up on the internet, if you've made a statement of personal opinion that could be considered derogatory, you're out hunting for a job, find it, take it off. You just need to know that this is something that people are really, really involved with. In fact, there is a company called Reputation Defender, and it's run by Mike Furtick, and this is a company that's essentially in the internet sleuthing business. Ah, yes, new careers. It only costs $10 a month. It'll track down every bit of embarrassing material there possibly might be about people, and then organize and analyze the data. So they can have all kinds of information that they can clean up for you if that's what you need. So this is some of the digital dirt that was found out. Hiring managers checked out job candidates online and discovered these cyber skeletons. 31% lied about qualifications, 24% were linked to criminal behavior, 19% badmouthed their former company, 19% boasted about drinking and doing drugs, 15% shared confidential information from former employers, 11% posted provocative photographs, and 8% used an unprofessional screen name. So it really is important that you pay attention to what you're doing. Be aware that when you put it on the internet, when you put it on the net in any shape or form, it is there for the world to see. And there are firms out there checking things out. It is really an amazing world we live in, and things are found out. Okay, oh my goodness, I'm looking at the time, and we're almost out of time. This is Donna Sebo broadcasting to you live from Anchorage, Alaska. I'll be broadcasting to you live from Anchorage again tomorrow. And just know that if you need to reach me for any reason at my office, the number is 800-872-8852, if that's the case. Also, remember always, you're the master of your fate. You are the captain of your soul. It's a great life. Enjoy the adventure of being who you are and making new discoveries. That's what life is all about. This is Donna Sebo. Talk to you tomorrow, same time, same place, right here on bbsradio.com. Bye for now.
You have been listening to The Donna Sebo Show. If you would like a copy of today's broadcast, send $10 to The Donna Sebo Show, P.O. Box 97272, Tacoma, Washington, 98497-0272. Be sure to put the date of the broadcast in your request. If you are not able to be a part of today's program, join Donna and her guests Monday through Friday, and she will be here to take your calls. Thank you for listening and being part of our program. Have a wonderful day.
Hi, this is Jeff Van Vonderen from A&E's show Intervention, and you're listening to BBSRadio.com.
Imagine a community where you get up in the morning and see your neighbors outside welcoming the day with group meditation and yoga, preparing spiritually, mentally, and physically in order to help their neighbors with whatever struggles they may have for the day. Where you don't have the fear of where your next meal is going to come from or how you're going to pay your rent or utility bills. My name is Michael, and I'm the very proud owner of the website.